Welcome to Flying Solo Fashion Podcast, where we spotlight the independent voices shaping the future of fashion. I'm your host, Elizabeth Salamina, and today I'm thrilled to be joined by Julia Mueller, a visionary stylist and creative director whose work spans editorials in Vogue, Elle, Harper's Bazaar, celebrity styling, and commercial projects with Louis Vuitton, Armani, and Victoria's Secret, just to name a few. Julia is currently represented by The Wall Group, one of the largest creative agencies in the world. Julia, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me again. And I always love the podcast and everything you do. I love the designers you have. So I always love to come by, of course. I love to work with new designers that have an interesting new taste and style. So to tell me a little bit about myself, I was born in Amsterdam, as you can probably hear about my accent. I've been actually studying, when I finished high school, psychology, but then I really felt it wasn't for me because I really missed the creativity. So I did finish my bachelor, and then I packed all my suitcases and moved to Paris because there apparently was the best fashion school in the business called Esmode East and Paris. I studied there and gained a lot of knowledge, and then I needed to put it into work. So I started assisting for almost 2.5 to 3 years, different people. I did internships, and then finally I started to develop my own portfolio. And then I hit my first Vogue Portugal, and then it started to roll. I got a really good agency in Europe, and then I started for over 10 years. I've been working in Europe between Paris and Amsterdam with multiple different designers, different magazines, and then 3.5 years ago, we finally decided to move to the United States. It was literally always my dream to live in New York since I was 21 years old. So it was really exciting to finally have the move. So I have my one-year-old daughter on my left hand and my cat in the other hand and my husband on the other side. And we decided to make the move, which has been the best thing so far. We completely love it here. And since then a lot of great things happened. I'm running different shows for New York Fashion Week. I've did shows for Louis Vuitton. I just did Dior spa campaign. So I feel like it's going in the right direction, and that's a little bit about me.
So how did you even decide to become a stylist? So obviously you were in a school for creative people, but not everybody decides to become a stylist after that. So what was that urge?
Honestly, since I'm a little girl, I was always experiencing with clothes. I was always the one that wore the weirdest things, and everyone was first like, okay, that's so weird, why you're wearing that? And then a month later, everyone was wearing it. So it was literally always already in me. But I never thought it was something for me because I don't have the patience and the detail orientedness that designers have. I cannot sew at all. So I never thought it would be something for me. And then I was at a party and I met one creative director from a jewelry brand. I don't even remember the name of the brand, but it was a pretty huge jewelry brand in the Netherlands. And she told me, why are you looking into creative direction or styling? And I didn't even honestly know that was a job, because I didn't know, like I wasn't experienced at all. I just always knew I love fashion, but I didn't know all the job titles and what you can do. There are so many variations you can do in this business. And then it immediately spoke to me, and I was like, okay, I want to do this. Where should I go? And she says, you have to go to Paris to the school. And like, I was sold.
So isn't it funny how sometimes things happen and you didn't even realize it at the moment that that is the beginning of your very new career and life path in a way? So it's a very interesting story. So for those people who are looking to start the stylist career, what would you say are the key things that you need to have in order to become one?
Well, there are two very important things. The first is you have to completely love it because it's a really, really tough business to get into. So if you don't love it, it's not worth it. You have to, it has to be, I mean, I love my daughter, of course, more, but it has to be almost like your first love in a way, where you are completely obsessed with clothing, with looks, with if you want a designer or anything in this creative field, a photographer, it all applies to the same passion you have to have because it's incredibly difficult. And I think that also means with my second one is a lot of discipline. If you don't have discipline and perseverance, this is not for you. I've seen it all around me. You know, people who are incredible and they fail, and then you have to get yourself up and keep going and try again or try something different. And definitely in New York, it's cutthroat. So you'll definitely fall down a thousand times. You'll get a no like a thousand times, and one time you'll get a yes, and that yes becomes another yes. So perseverance and discipline is, I think, the most important thing if you want to be a photographer, a designer, a stylist, anything, honestly, that has to do with the fashion industry.
Do you remember your very first shoot that you did as a stylist?
Yeah, it was so horrible. I actually just had an assistant and she had her first shoot and she was so disappointed. And she's like, oh my God, like, I tried my best, but I really didn't like it. And I said, like, honey, it's just a learning process. If I'm gonna look at my first shoot that I did, it's like horrible. But it doesn't matter because it's a starting stone. You know, you have to develop yourself. You have to learn while you're going. The first shoot, you will learn so much, and the second shoot will be a little bit better, and the third will be better. So you'll develop through time. Even now, after 12 years in this industry, I'm still learning every day. And that's the most important thing, that you keep developing and getting better. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you remember your first Vogue shoot then? You did quite a few
Oh,
Vogues at this point,
yes.
so do you remember the first one?
I do. So, I was reaching out with a photographer who was a little bit out of my league by then because I just started on my own as a stylist. I really made a beautiful mood board and he really liked it. So we started working on it. I bought in a bunch of brands online that were designers. So I had like some sort of credits, like from Dior and from Chanel, and I invested a lot and returned, of course, everything because else I would have been broke. So we did this shoot and it actually looked pretty nice, I have to say. And I was sending this out to all online contacts I could Google. Like, I tried to find all the emails of all the Vogues, and I was just emailing literally everyone I could find. And weirdly enough, I got a response from Vogue Portugal, and they said, yeah, we really like the story and we would like to publish it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was my first Vogue, and since then I've been working with them for 12 years. So it's so funny how that like happened, but there was an immediate connection and they were open to new creative people back in that day, and I think they still are. So yeah, I think that was a very big thing where I started as a stylist.
That is so cool. I think everybody always remember the very first big publication. For us, for Flying Solo, it was Vogue Career, our very, very first one. I'll never forget the feeling when you actually have a magazine in your hand and it's our brands there. And it was like, it was just in the store and it's on the pages. How is it possible? It's Vogue. So I can completely relate to the feeling of all of it. I mean, after a while, it became like, well, that's another Vogue. It's work. I mean, it's exciting, but I don't think that anything beats that first excitement on the very first publication. So,
Yeah.
how many years ago was it, your very first Vogue?
I think it was, let me Check. I think it was 10 years ago. So I'd done things before, but this was my first official Vogue. Ten or
Awesome.
maybe
So
11 years, yeah.
how did you get into commercial work? So I'm guessing you started with editorial. So how did you start working on a bigger commercial brand since you did Louis Vuitton and Victoria's Secret and Armani? So how do you get into that field?
I think that's probably the most difficult thing, honestly. Just because a lot of brands already work with their own stylist and their, the people they work with. How I started back then, because of that Vogue, actually, I got more into working with high-end magazines, where my people viewed me as like a good stylist, because if you are in those magazines, people think, oh, you're good. I mean, it's kind of weird, but it's how it is, unfortunately. Somebody can be amazing and not be in those magazines. Anywho, so I had some sort of leverage, and I joined with an agency because they saw me as okay, she has a lot of potential, and this agency connected me to a lot of different brands. And when I moved here, I think it's the same. I'm with the Wahl Group, which is one of the best agencies here. And I think they have such a leverage with already knowing a lot of different commercial brands they can introduce you. But at the same time, I would never sit and wait until my agency gives me, the brands, like some of the brands I did. For example, Dior, like it's through my own connections. So always, try and do outreach, meet new photographers, do new work with new people, have meetings with producers. Every day is a new challenge. If I don't work, I will work on something meeting wise or connection wise. That's how it goes.
Incredible. So, share with us a little more on why would a creative person want or don't want to go into working with an agency? Because a lot of a good chunk of creatives, that's their goal, just to be signed by the agency. Another part is against agencies and believe that it's better to be a representative on its own. And some are just starting out and really confused about the whole thing. It's like, do you have to be signed with the agency to actually make it, or you don't? And what's the good and the bad parts about the whole thing?
I think if you are not in an agency and you need it, like good for you because you'll save 35% of agency fee in total. So it will save you a lot of money. But the thing is, like if you have enough work and it goes already directly through you, like chapeau. But I think a lot of times, bigger brands go do outreach to agencies directly because they don't know all the stylist names. They just go to the agency and they're asking, can you give us some names, give us some hair and makeup, give them some stylist, etc., etc. For photographers, I think it's a little bit different, in a way, and I don't mean it in a bad way. Stylist and makeup artists, they're not interchangeable. It's not what I mean, but they're like, they just want to hear like a bunch of names and they could choose. With a photographer, you're already so specific, they already probably know you before they will ask you. I don't think they'll necessarily go to a photography agency and say, okay, can you propose me a bunch of photographers? I don't think it's that way with photographers. So I think that's a definitely a different thing. For a stylist, yeah, the plus is that you'll get a lot through the agency. You also have a name because I'm with the Wahl Group. People think, oh, she must be good because she's with that agency. So if you're with a good agency that has some sort of name, you already have like some sort of status. But on the other hand, like I'm doing a lot of communication and meeting with brands and people and also by myself. you know, so it's a plus and a minus. I think there are good things about it and there are bad things about it.
And if you, for example, find a client on your own, do they still have to go through your agency to to work with you?
Yes, always.
Okay, well, that's, I guess, the downside of working with an agency. Well, that's really good advice. I think it gives a good perspective to people that want to look into the agent working with agencies, if it's a good thing for them or not. So you're basically saying that if you can make a name on your own, just do that. But there is a lot of credibility comes with an agency work, so it becomes easier in a way.
Yes, exactly. Yes, that's exactly what I mean. Yeah.
So how do you discover, so you do, you still do a lot of editorial work and you work with celebrity clients. So when you do that, how do you discover new designers? So I saw that in your work specifically, it's not only big brands, but you also like to mix in some of their known names. So how do you go about discovering those?
I actually love to work with newer designers because there are multiple things. I think it's good to give like newer designers a chance to flourish as well, because it's a difficult industry. I think they are less bound to restrictions that are given by these big brands, so they're more free in their thinking. How I find them, it's either through Instagram, through press agencies, is honestly the easiest if I go to you guys, you know, or through other stylists. If I see a different designer that already shown and I see, oh, that's really cool, oh, it might, you know, look up this designer and I start following them, or I screenshot, you know, things that I like. So I have like some sort of archive where I tend to go through different designers and people. And sometimes I don't use their look, but they'll still be on my list to go through if I have a photo shoot. Also, I get sometimes lookbooks in my email. So designers tend to reach out to me through Instagram or through email. With Instagram, if I'm completely honest, I get so many messages, I'm not always opening them because it's just, it's too much. It's almost like spam. And if it's through email and it's like really good, you know, you see the lookbook there where they show the images in a good way, you know, and if I have time, I will open them. And if I like it, I will screenshot them as well. So I think through email and like an official form with your lookbook, I think that's the most easiest way to reach out.
Perfect. So if someone from our listeners would like to reach out to you, it's through your website, Julia Mueller, right?
Yes, through my website, or you can email me. It's info@julia-mueller.com.
Amazing. Yeah. And what's the good practices for designers to reach out to you? So it has to be a lookbook. It doesn't have to be your current lookbook. How many looks do you expect in it? Does it have to be clean lookbook, or you prefer more creative ones? So any pointers for designers?
Yeah, so I think the most important thing if you're doing reach out as a designer to stylist is you have to look at the stylist style. So if your items are very clean and very simple, go to a stylist who has more minimalistic aesthetic. If a stylist has more bombastic extravagance like me, I would tend more to things that have like a really interesting shape or a really interesting fabric or something that is really different, versus a friend of mine who is also an amazing stylist. He is way more minimalistic. So if you have that kind of style, I would reach out more towards those stylists. So I think look who you will, who would most likely use you, and reach out to them.
Amazing. What are your don'ts with for working with designers? So were there any designers that you were interested in working and something really turned you off, or something that designers should not do when working with a stylist?
I think arrogance really turns me off. I think also expecting that you'll be used if I will lend the outfit, because I have like maybe 16 to 20 looks on set, and sometimes I will use it and sometimes I won't. I've used many like young designers, but it's not always that I'm gonna use the look. So if someone would be, you know, like not appreciative after, or like annoyed, that will be like, okay, I will never work with this designer again, because it's how it goes, you know. Sometimes you will use it, sometimes you don't, and the next time I will maybe use it. So it's important to be on the rack of the stylist. It's important that they will think of you. It's important to keep doing outreach and be nice and just be happy to help, and you know, yeah. That's how I think.
I completely agree. And that's what we always teach our designers, because as you know, we work with a lot of really young ones, and sometimes they get impatient and they want everything right away. And if the items is not used, I also believe that the best practice is just to thank the stylist that they took it for the photo shoot, and just, you know, let them know that they're always open to another opportunity if you'll be open to that. So I think that's probably the best way to actually be on the radar for the stylist. Am I right?
Yes, no, completely right. Yeah. I think it's also important to be willing to invest, for example. So if I don't have like the budget to do shipping, even though it's like a little bit difficult, I'm not gonna invest in it, you know? So if you're in LA and sometimes there are younger designers, and they're willing to do maybe one way, then I'm more likely also to probably use it, because they're already invested in it and I'll feel guilty. So I'll try and incorporate it wherever I can. So, yeah, this also.
That is incredible. So, in general, do you prefer to, like, what's your split? Do you prefer to work with the showrooms, or do you prefer to reach out to designers directly?
It's both. Honestly, it's both. Showrooms are always like a little bit easier, because you can just go through, just have an appointment, and I'll see just everything hanging there, and I can just already see it like physically. And sometimes when I have a very specific theme and already have like the designer screenshotted, I can ask them directly as well. So I think both. Yeah.
Very cool. So very last thing, what would you tell to young people that want to become stylists? I know that a lot of them are listening to us right now. How should they start? What should they do if they doubt at the moment? How would they should go about that?
I think where we started is like be humble and be willing to do the work. So you have to start at the bottom. I think first, honestly, you have to gain the knowledge. So some sort of education is not always necessary, because most of it you will learn through assisting. But a lot of stylists won't hire, you know, an assistant who doesn't have any knowledge, you know. So I think probably some sort of education in your field would be good. Not always necessary. Interning would be great to start if you're not doing an education, or either way, I think interning is a good start. Also to see if you like it. I think interning is a good way to tip your toes in the field and see how everything goes. Then you become an official assistant. So you're already going to earn like a rate in styling. I always pay my assistants, of course. So you're already starting this as an official job. And then from there out, it's important to, even though you're assisting, create your own work and start building on your own craft, and reach out to, if you're a stylist, to photographers and who are in your league. Don't go like to like a Ben Hassett, like the most, you know, famous photographers, because they're likely not willing to work with you if you're on assistant level. But reach out to, if you're on the set with the stylist you're assisting. That's how I did it. I reached out to the assistant photographers who are also, you know, have the drive to go somewhere, and they will get there. So you grow together. Like the people that I've worked with who assisted in that time are now, they work with Lady Gaga. So, you know, you have to build yourself up. And if you're in the same, you know, if you connect with some people on set, you know, keep working with them, keep working on your craft, and yeah, build yourself up to become your own stylist. And then it's also being a risk, start doing it your own, like maybe stop assisting at some point when you're fed up with it and invest everything in yourself if you can, because of course America is a very expensive place to live. But yeah, try and reach out to different brands, start doing e-com, you know, get yourself in with producers, that kind of stuff. So keep developing yourself and building on your craft, and like after a while, take some risks as well to reach out to better photographers, to better clients. And you can always get a no, but you can also get a yes, you know. Yeah, and I think it's also important before you do so that you already have a vision who you are. So what is your style, for example? Why are you different than any other stylist? Be specific about what your qualities are and what differentiates yourself. I think those things are very important to have before you go and do outreach to other people, because if you don't know who you are and what you represent, nobody else will understand it.
Well, Julia, thank you so much. It's such an incredible advice. I really hope that people that are aspiring to be stylists will take it to heart and really listen to what you had to say, because it's not an easy thing to be in creative field, and it takes a lot. I think it takes your entire soul to be there. And I truly agree with you that you shouldn't go into creative fields if you're not 100% into the whole thing. It has to fulfill something deeper in you, and only then you can become a really good stylist.
Yeah, exactly. And I wish everyone who's listening the best of luck. Honestly, if you have any questions, I'm always, you know, happy to help out wherever I can. Either if I'm going to read it, you can always try, hit me a DM. It's Julia Müller Styling. If not, like, hit me an email with info@julia-muller.com. If you have any questions, I'm always happy to help out wherever I can.
Well, Julia, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you.
Thank you, too.